Welcome to episode 201 of This Week in Marketing. I'm your host, Sajid, and today I'm going over the digital marketing update from February 26th through March 1st, 2024. And today I'm going to zoom through just because I am short on time. So if you really want to dig deeper into what I'm saying, please do check out the show notes. I'm sorry, but I just am very, very short on time. Anyway, first up, there is Google has dropped a video where Google's Gary Ilias, he's the engineer at Google. He kind of talked about how Google crawls pages, pages and pages on your website. So some of the things, you need to know is that Google has, what it does at first is a URL discovery. So Google already has, like, let's just say our example, our website, marketandgrow.com, it already knows that it goes to the homepage and it then goes through the, links on that homepage and so forth, right? So obviously structuring your website content is very good. The other thing you want to know is that Google's crawler, the algorithm Google crawler uses, that algorithm decides which sites to crawl, how often, and how many pages to fetch. And all this is dictated by the response from your website, how long it takes to load. And obviously there is a component of content quality. And obviously, that's the non-technical aspect. But the technical aspect that really matters is your server responding on time? Are you getting any errors? How fast? And blah, blah, blah. Okay, hope this helps. Let's jump to the next one. The next question is, this is from a Reddit discussion forum where someone asked this question is, hey, am I getting affected by crawl budget because I have quite a few of 301 and 410 redirects? Sorry, 301 redirect and 410 responses. To that, John Mueller saying that, if you're doing a mix of 301 redirect, which is basically saying, hey, take this URL that is on a non-secure, insecure URL HTTP and convert it into HTTPS followed by 410 errors, it's quite acceptable. You shouldn't be concerned about that. If you're getting inconsistent crawling on your site, then chances are, and if your site is not large, then chances are you have content quality issues. Usually large sites, very large sites are basically would be affected by a 301 followed by, or a 410 followed by a 301. Anyway, so thought this was interesting for you all to know, just because, if you see inconsistent crawling does not necessarily mean that, Google has a crawl budget. And obviously the word crawl budget has been slapped around, thrown around in the SEO world. And a lot of people say, oh, Google has a crawl budget. No. Again, here, Mueller is saying, look, crawl budget is just a very vague, big term. Again, how fast your site responds is what's going to dictate how often Google is going to come back. In addition to, your content, is it really, a good content or not? Okay. Next up is a question about, hey, can we somehow game the system, or can we enhance a site's website search performance by disallowing URLs with UTM parameters, right? Mueller is saying, look, I am advocating maintaining clean and consistent internal URLs to ensure optimal site hygiene and efficiency in tracking. His advice is basically focusing on improved site structure to minimize the need for Google to crawl irrelevant URLs, right? This involves refining internal linking strategies, employing tags judiciously, and ensuring consistency in URL across feeds. So hope this helps. You don't need to unnecessarily reinvent the wheel, make things complicated, even though your SEO person might feel like, he or she has to make it complicated to show that they're doing such a big work, but sometimes simple is better. Next up, just so that Google, if you are using Google Business profile website, it's going away. So you want to be able to, Google wants you to move into things like either WordPress, Wix, Squarespace, GoDaddy, again, Google doesn't care where you move to. Google just wants you to move off of that free website that was created through Google Business Profile. If you do not do it, your website is going to redirect back into the Google Business Profile, and then obviously eventually that will stop working. Next up is Google has this new carousel rich result for enhanced local discovery, and this is in a beta format. So obviously this is still a work in progress. However, for you to be eligible for this rich result, you must utilize item list structured data, ensuring that all information presented is visible on the web page. And this... let me see my notes. Just because you have structured data does not mean your listing is going to get shown. It merely makes your content eligible. As this feature is still in beta, its testing phase implies ongoing evaluations and potential adjustments based on feedback and performance. This new rich new carousel rich result represents a promising opportunity for local businesses to elevate their visibility on search engine. Let me see. Here's an example. For example, a web page about things to do in Paris could feature structured data for events and local businesses, including landmarks, dining options, thus offering a comprehensive view of the city's offering, right? So what's the... So it's like this new structured data or the new rich carousel rich result feature, it's targeting local business subtype. So for example, restaurant, hotel or vacation rental, and then it's mixing up also like things like products and events. So it's bringing it a lot of different things, and you'd be able to use that to showcase your business. Next up, here's Google's excuse on why they don't have on the lack of performance or transparency on Performance Max. So Google is saying that it intentionally avoids providing channel-specific key performance indicators, KPIs, to prevent misinformation. So Google is saying, hey, we don't want to... So here, let me read this to you. That Google's spokesperson responding to queries in the Google Ads Help Center explained that examining aggregate return on ad spend or cost per acquisition for a single channel within Performance Max campaigns could lead to misleading conclusions. The reason being the performance of one channel over another does not consider the increment cost of acquiring an additional conversion through that channel. The spokesman emphasized one channel may seem better than the other with stronger ROI on average. However, this does not account for the marginal cost of the next conversion on that channel. The best channel in one auction isn't the best option in another auction. So that's what Google's claim is. So as a result, they took it away from us, which channel is performing what. They just want to give us an overhaul. Like, you know, really, I don't buy that. But, you know, the digital marketing community is also not buying it. Everyone wants the data, right? We don't want to have a blind faith, even if it's something we cannot change, but we want to see how our each channel is doing. Next up, so Google has given advertisers some control in Google Search Partner Network. Remember, there was a big noise after Adletics kind of did a investigation and found that, you know, a lot of Google ads were showing up next to questionable content, and they were all part of the Search Partner Network. Now, Google is allowing advertisers to see exactly where their ads are being displayed. Yeah, that's a win. This level of detail was previously unavailable. Furthermore, Google is implementing a change that allows exclusion of certain ad placements to be applied not only within its own platform, such as YouTube and display ads, but also across the entire Search Partner Network. This means that if an advertiser chooses to exclude an ad placement at the account level, their exclusion will now extend across a wider range of sites, ensuring more comprehensive control over where ads appear. Next up, Google has this new policy on pausing low activity ad groups. Starting March 11th, platform will implement an automated process to pause ad groups that have shown low activity, specifically ad groups created at least 13 months prior and which have not generated any impression in the past 13 months will be targeted. This initiative is part of Google's effort to help advertisers allocate their budgets more effectively by eliminating underperforming ad groups from their campaign. This implementation of this policy is scheduled to be completed by April 30th, following a rollout period of just over 7 weeks. This will encompass all production Google Ads accounts, ensuring a comprehensive application of the new rule. Advertisers affected by this change will receive notifications, and they will have the option to reactivate their paused ad groups. However, Google recommends through a thorough review of these ad groups before reactivation. Advertisers are advised to not only unpause ad groups that are anticipated to generate impressions in the near future. It is important to note that if these reactivated ad groups fail to secure any impression within the 3 months, they will automatically be paused once again by Google. Alrighty, folks, that's it for this week in marketing. I'm your host, Sajid. Sorry to rush through this. I just am busy today, but I still wanted to get this out. Hope you enjoyed. Signing off. Until next week. Take care. Bye-bye.